Well, good morning. Welcome to Grace Bible Church here in Montgomery, Alabama. And it's a great day to be studying the Word. Of course, we always start out with a few things, great principles when it comes to studying the Word of God. A, what do you believe and why? I mean, is it because, Mama and Daddy taught me? Granddaddy said, my church and my pastor said, my favorite teacher taught me? It's got to be what saith the Scripture, does it not? So it's got to be founded here. So a second great principle is to use in Acts 17, where the Bereans are called more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they tested the things that were, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here, that were taught and preached. Look it up in Acts 17. That were taught and preached. They tested those things by the Scriptures. They searched the Scriptures daily, Acts 17 says. And because of that, they were called more noble. Great principle for you to use in studying the Word. Test the things that are taught here. Okay? And then the third thing is context. We use the Miles Coverdale statement, but make sure you take it in context. Okay, and sometimes we go through that in more detail. But who said it? To whom are they speaking? Under what circumstances? What comes before? What comes after? Make sure you know in the Scriptures especially, who is that specific Scripture being written to? And I'm going to say, especially when you're reading red letters and Christ talking, really look at to whom is He speaking. Usually, it is 12 people and 12 men only. So really watch that. It helps just unleash this Word. Okay, with that, Romans. We're going to be in Romans a lot this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Okay, and that's the word this morning, to everyone that believeth. Like I said, what do you believe and why? All right, so this morning I want to talk a little bit about the word, the noun, believe, to believe something. And it always helps. I always say there's three books. If you got stranded on a desert island somewhere, there's three books you could bring with you. Of course, first is that King James Bible. Another one is Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, and then Strong's Concordance. Okay, those three books, if you will, right there, and you're ready to go, especially when it comes to studying your Bible. So I'm going to come to the 1828 Noah Webster's dictionary here. By the way, so many of these words are defined by the King James Bible. Noah Webster used the King James Bible in defining so many of these words. Might be a coincidence, I don't know. And of course, in this year, I guess I'm dating myself, sorry, but in this year that's the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, let's make sure we're really grasping hold of the King James Version of the Word of God. That is our version in English. Okay, so first of all, looking up the noun belief. Let's start there, and then we'll go to the verb, believe. Okay, because we're going to be studying a lot about believing today. Okay? Remember, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we're going to see later on, believing is so, so key. Belief. A persuasion of the truth, or an assessment of mind to the truth of a declaration, proposition, or alleged fact, on the ground of evidence. How key that is, the ground of evidence. Distinct from personal knowledge. Okay, we all think we know things, don't we? Okay, distinct from personal knowledge. That's where belief really comes from. Distinct from personal knowledge. As the belief of the gospel. There you go. Noah Webster using Scripture in here. Not using Scripture, but talking about Scripture. Belief of a witness. Belief may also be founded on internal impressions or arguments and reasons furnished by our own minds as the belief of our senses. Be careful of trusting your senses, by the way. A train of reasoning may result in belief. Okay, the second one. In theology, faith, or a firm persuasion of the truths of religion. The third one, religion, the body of tenets held by the professors of faith. The fourth one, in some cases, the word is used for persuasion or opinion when the evidence is not so clear as to leave no doubt, but the shades of strength and opinion can hardly be defined or exemplified. Hence the use of qualifying words as a firm, full, or strong belief. Okay, so that is the noun, that's the thing, belief, when you have a belief. But what about the verb now, believing? Okay, believeth. Let's go back to 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Okay, that's the verb, believeth, when you believe something. So now let's look at the verb, believe. Okay, believe, to credit upon the authority or testimony of another. To be persuaded of the truth of something upon the declaration of another, or upon evidence, there's that word again, or upon evidence furnished by reasons, arguments, and deductions of the mind, or by other circumstances than personal knowledge. When we believe upon the authority of another, we always put confidence in his veracity. When we believe upon the authority of reasoning, arguments, or a concurrence of facts and circumstances, we rest our conclusions upon their strength or probability, their agreement with our own experience. Okay, the second one, to expect or hope with confidence, to trust. Wow, there's quite a word, to trust. Okay, now they have a whole nother entry here for believe. To have a firm persuasion of anything. In some cases, to have full persuasion, approaching to certainty. In others, more doubt is implied. It is often followed by in or on, especially in the Scriptures, as in to believe in, is to hold as the object of faith. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's quoting John there. Okay, in theology, to believe sometimes expressed a mere assessment of the understanding to the truths of the gospel. Okay? So, again, to believe, to trust, we saw earlier. Okay, so we're going to look at some passages this morning about believing. Again, what do you believe and why? Sorry, still want to talk to the people. I got to remember, today we're taping to talk to you, so I apologize to those of you. Had to take a few notes here. But if we use the words believe, King James also has believeth, and actually had a third word, which is believed. I want to take a look at those three verbs. Now help me with the books that the Apostle Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul being the Apostle to the Gentiles. Okay? The Apostle Paul wrote how many books? 13. Let's just start the way they appear in the King James Bible. The first one is Romans. The second one is 1 Corinthians. The second one is 2 Corinthians. And we will stop there. There are 10 more. Now, would you believe that 60 times the word believe, believeth, and believed shows up in Romans through Philemon, those 13 books that the Apostle Paul wrote. Now watch this. If you take Romans, okay, if you take Romans, 23 of the 60 times, that's greater than 1 out of 3 times the Apostle Paul uses one of these three words is in the book of Romans, which just happens to be the first book that shows up in the Bible that Paul wrote. Coincidence? I think not. Add 1 Corinthians to this, and we now have 34 of the 60 times. That's greater than 1 out of 2 times the Apostle Paul uses one of these three words. Believe, believeth, believe. Coincidence? I think not. Just add 2 Corinthians to it. And we have 38 of 60, almost 2 out of 3 times. Just the first three books that show up in the Bible, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and almost 2 out of 3 times that the Apostle Paul uses, believe, believeth, believed, show up right there. We're in Romans. For the most part, we're going to stay right there. Go to Romans 3. So let's talk about believing. Again, what do you believe and why? Most importantly, why? Well, I don't know about most importantly. What you believe is pretty important too. We're going to start in verse 20. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, and always watch those words, but now, in a King James Bible. But now, it's changing. Something was going on, but now, it's this. It's a serious change, and a lot of times doctrinally. Usually with Paul, it is doctrinally. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the laws and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. There's that word we're talking about this morning. Believe. And it comes right after, the very next verse, after a but now. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is it is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, because of everything we just read, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And that's a change that started in the book of Romans. Okay, you will never see that before the book of Romans, because what role did the deeds of the law play prior to this? Absolutely part of salvation. Romans is a but now. Okay, study it out. Don't take the word here. It's what saith the Scripture. Okay, so we see a change coming here. No coincidence that one third of the times that Paul uses these words is right here in the very first book that shows up in the King James Bible. I mean, what a coincidence, right? Okay, Romans chapter 4. Let's look at another application of believe here. We're going to start, let's just start right in verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our fathers pertaineth to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Now, here we go. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, again, change here, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Okay, we're just into the fourth chapter here of Romans, and look at these changes that we're seeing. And there's a whole lot of the Bible before Romans chapter 4 right there. Not a whole lot after. And if we just went to Philemon, it goes to about, somebody said it's about 88 pages. Right there. That little amount, okay? That little amount is what the Apostle Paul wrote. 13 books that show up in this Bible that become Scripture. And we saw right there at the but nows coming in. We're now into chapter 4. And again, watch believe. We're really looking at believe. So we saw in verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What? His believing God. Okay, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Let's just keep going. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Come down. Verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Here again, believing. Okay, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Wow, who's he talking?
You look so handsome.
And about. Okay, something different than what had been going on prior to this. Okay, for the promise. Actually, I'm just going to jump ahead here. Therefore, verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Okay, and we all know the story of Abraham back there. Okay, but again, just watch where believing comes in as opposed to doing. Okay, as opposed to acts of righteousness, as opposed to works of righteousness. Okay, let's come over to Acts. We're at 15 minutes, right? Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, we're going to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Of course, at this time, what was, Paul's ministry is the apostle to the Gentiles, but during the Acts period, it was, as it says in Romans 11, it was to provoke the Jews to jealousy because of this right here. My desire is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So you see what they were doing right there in verse 3. Okay, when we see a contrary to this. It's going about to establish your own righteousness, as in works. Okay, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that... What's the next word? Believeth. There's that word believeth right there. Okay, the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith... Okay, but... In contrary to what was just said, now we're at the righteousness which comes by faith, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise, say not in thine own heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now watch the next couple verses. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, are you seeing the role in here that believeth? It's a action. Right? It's not the noun, it's believeth. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Okay, verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Okay, believing has such a... the act of believing, not just having that belief, the act of believing. Remember, one of the words in the definition, trusting. Okay, there's no works in this other than the work of believing. You know, that is an action word, so if you want to call that a word, but works for righteousness, no. Okay, as we saw in Romans, is just full of the transition from everything before it here and the role that works played. Here's the first book that the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, our doctrine for today. Why do we rightly divide the word? So we know our gospel for salvation. And Paul preaches a different gospel for salvation than what was preached prior to his teachings. It's different doctrine. Study to show, you know, rightly, when we say rightly dividing the word of truth, that's it right there. That's why we do it. Okay, so verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now watch the next couple verses here. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? There's that word believed again. Okay, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how do they call? They've got to believe first. Okay, who did Christ come to save? Sinners, right? But they've got to believe that they're sinners first. They've got to understand that. But so right here, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Now watch how they believe. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? They've got to hear. But do you see the foundational role that believing plays in this? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Okay? So believing is such a foundation to this entire process. You believe, then you call on the name of the Lord. But you've got to believe first. Now again, what do you believe and why is such a resounding theme of what we teach here at Grace Bible Church. And I would say that's whoever you're hearing preach from here. But it is a foundation. Now, I had a chance yesterday to, for the first time, and I hope those of you on the television broadcast have had an opportunity to see the tribute to Pastor Barry. And it's just, it is outstanding the way it's put together. But you know how, right near the end, how it ended? And Christy, could I ask you maybe to come up? And he said, I wrote a song the day I got saved. And by the way, he was saved in August of 1983. Right, Brenda? August 24th, 1983, if I remember correctly. And he said, I wrote a song the day, and Wayne, I love the way you put it in there right at the end of the tribute to Pastor Barry. And you know, it starts with, all you've got to do is believe. And of course, we have the words here. And I asked Chrissy to come up because I assure you don't want to hear me sing this, but if we could maybe just all, if you all could maybe just go ahead and sing that song, All You've Got to Do is Believe, that Pastor Barry wrote on the day he was saved 28 years ago.
All you got to do is believe. Jesus paid it all for you and me. Totally paid the price, isn't He gracious and nice? That all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is receive the finished work of Calvary. Totally paid the price, isn't He gracious and nice? That all you got to do is receive.
First verse, one more time.
Okay. All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price, isn't He gracious and nice? That all you got to do is believe.
Thank you, Christy. That's it. It's that simple. All you've got to do is believe. Now, of course, the key is, what do you believe? just like Brother Barry on that day, August 24th, 1983, believed that about 2,000 years ago, on that cross, the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was hung on that cross. And when He hung on that cross, okay, when He hung on that cross, He shed His blood to pay the penalty for our sins. The gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. He shed His blood to pay the penalty for my sins, for Barry's sins, for the sins of the world. And all you've got to do is believe that those that was paying the price for you, because there is nothing you can do, not by works of righteousness. Give me a one when we get to that point, if you would, please. Okay? When He died on that cross, shed His blood for our sins, and He did die. He was then buried, and He spent 3 days dead, if you will. And He actually went to hell and took our sins down there and left them where they belong. And on the third day, God the Father raised Him from the dead for our justification. Okay? And all you've got to do is believe. It's that right there. Okay? It's that simple. That is the gospel of our salvation. For you Bereans on the television, go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, 5, take it in there, and you're going to read that gospel of your salvation. And as a matter of fact, it's amazing how you'll even see that word, believe, right in there, right at the end of verse 2. You know, by which, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Okay? All you've got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price. Isn't He gracious and nice? That all you've got to do is believe. Won't you believe and trust Him?